T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college. Check me out. I'm kick ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself, but they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
All right, hour number two, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you on this Tuesday morning. Got a little bit of that July gloom. Remember when we had that for a while, and then we had a little bit of sunshine? Now it's like a cloudy and overcast. What's going on? What's going on with the weather? 2020, let's go.
Yeah.
Give me sunshine. It's July.
Yeah. Smile. Positive.
Positive. Staying positive.
Just happy to be here.
You're dang right.
Happy to be here.
You know, yesterday, Adam Schefter was the guy who had his finger on the pulse of the Patrick Mahomes deal. He came through and was roundhouse kicking the folks in the face with all the details that he had, like it was a contract extension through the 2031 season. He had that it was worth up to $503 million, that it was a $450 million extension. But apparently he was not the first person to break this story. The person who broke the story, a rather unlikely source, it was a liquor store employee in Kansas City.
Yeah, so I.
Well, you seem unimpressed that she broke the story here.
Well, there's a backstory to the story. Why don't you share it with us?
Well, you sound unimpressed. This young lady was working at the liquor store.
Scoop.
When
that's her name, Scoop.
Scoops McCallahan. Uh-huh. When a few Kansas City Chiefs employees came in looking for several bottles of Dom Perignon. And then she was like, oh, this is great news. And immediately said, I'm excited. She tweeted out that she was excited that Mahomes was getting a new deal, and she was beyond excited. The employees did not tell her of the Chiefs that it was a contract extension for Patrick Mahomes. She just kind of, Katie Camlin is her name. She put it together that they were celebrating, the Chiefs were celebrating, and they wanted six bottles of Dom, and she put two and two together that it was a massive extension for Patrick Mahomes. 2 hours later, Adam Schefter tweeted out that the Mahomes deal was done. That is, hey, she scooped Adam Schefter. Make no bones about it. Right.
Somebody came into your establishment, which is known as liquor, and bought a bunch of champagne. What would you say is going on? Something's having a party. There's something good going on, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, she ended
up... Good deductive reasoning.
She deleted her tweet initially because she was afraid that her employer at the liquor store was going to get in trouble. She's going to get in trouble and that they were going to get mad at her.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, like the Chiefs are going to be mad that she was breaking code or something?
She said, I didn't want to lose their business and I was afraid they'd be mad, so I deleted it. But of course, screenshots are forever.
Yeah, welcome to the social media world.
Huh?
Yeah, I know.
But it turns out her bosses are now thrilled because everybody's talking about the Plaza liquor store.
Yeah, famous. She's famous.
I wonder how much Darren Revelle will crunch the number on these and give us a stupid fictional number on how much free advertising the Plaza Liquor Store has gotten of this.
Yeah, take it.
No, hey, she got her 5 minutes of fame, and hey, that is awesome for her. My question out of this Patrick Mahomes deal is 10 years, $450 million, up to $503 mil guaranteed. How tied is he to Andy Reid in this?
Well, Andy Reid's 62 years old. Does Andy Reid have another 10 years in coaching? We've seen guys. I mean, Wade Phillips coached into his 70s. Marv Levy coached into his 70s. Nick Saban, 69. We see Pete Carroll's 68, going to be 69 also. It's not unfathomable that he does it. Maybe Andy Reid's not the most energetic, in-shape guy, but it's not to say he can't do that. I don't think that he's tied to it, but I certainly think there's a good... I would bet Andy Reid is another 5 years. I could feel 4 or 5 years for that. I mean, Eric Bieniemy might be the coach in waiting also. I mean, you just don't know. Could be.
But we know that Andy Reid is a wizard when it comes to offense and it comes to that quarterback position. Mm-hmm. Every single guy that Andy Reid has worked with has been successful. I mean, everybody that Andy Reid touches has that success. Is how much of the success that Patrick Mahomes has do you think is in part to Andy Reid?
Well, it's a fair question to everybody that watches football, is that if you put Patrick Mahomes with Cincinnati, I'm so sorry, Joe Burrow, what happens?
They don't win Super Bowls.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
There comes a time when you watch talent and you go, this guy has it no matter where they're at.
No doubt about it.
They have it no matter where they're at. You can just see it. I mean, if Brett Favre goes to Atlanta, he did go to Atlanta. It was Jerry Glanville. They didn't recognize it. He got mixed up with a guy named Mike Holmgren, who was also the leader of a staff that had Andy Reid on that staff.
Uh-huh.
So there is a connection to the system. The system is also the West Coast system, which I am enthralled with and obsessed with, and still to this day believe it's the foundation of football and will always be the foundation of football offense. As much as everybody wants to say it could be other things, it's the Bible of how to coach football offensively.
Modern football.
No, I just think football in general.
Oh.
But I mean, you want to call modern football, we want to go all the way back to, yes, I mean, guys in their hand to the dirt and Bronco Nagurski and running downhill and running the flying wedge and power sweep with Vince Lombardi. I mean, that's
throw what first NFL that is what the NFL and college is now.
Well,
absolutely.
Football 100%. Is as we, everybody that's kind of upright as they know it.
Yes, sir.
Right. Not dead in the ground. So, yeah, I think that there's something to that. Great coaches also make great players. And so LeBron's never had a great coach. He's just an anomaly. Michael Jordan had a Hall of Fame coach. These guys have Hall of Fame coaches. Ken Griffey Jr. never had a great manager, but his baseball different.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of how things work. Mahomes is not Mahomes without Andy Reid, but he's still talented. And he would be, is there a comparable that what he would be? He would be Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Which is, you sit there and you go, wow.
Incredible.
Look at him. And, oh, man, he's going to be worth it.
But he's with Bill O'Brien.
Right. Who's good, not great.
Oh, I know. They go to playoffs.
Yeah.
They go to the playoffs.
But Andy Reid is great.
Yeah.
And so is Pat. And that, I don't say that to diminish anything that Patrick Mahomes has done, because Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable. He's elite in his own right.
Doesn't it sound dumb, though, to say this guy without a coach wouldn't be any... Well, nobody in the business of football makes it without great teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can have amazing... I had to play with guys that look good, unbelievable talent, physical gifts beyond belief, but they never had the leadership of the coach.
Uh-huh.
So to actually put Patrick Mahomes down for that, I would take it on the other side and say, he has maximized his potential at a young age, not to the full extent. He's still in his prime, but he took somebody's knowledge and found a way to create this perfect synergy.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be looked at as like that's a minimizing of what he's done, because nobody's minimizing Tom Brady for having Bill Belichick, which is one of the all-time great coaches.
It's a great marriage.
Bill Belichick isn't diminished because of Tom Brady. It's going to be interesting to see now that those two guys are apart. You know, that's the age-old question. Who's more important? Well, it doesn't have to be. It's as you said, it was a great marriage for a lot of years. And the reason why the question is how tied is he to Andy Reid is because of the fact that, hey, look, you mentioned he's 62 years old, Andy Reid is. Is he going to be a 72-year-old head coach in the National Football League when this contract ends? Or I guess it would be 74 years old.
I hope so. I hope he does. I do. Yeah. I really hope Andy Reid's around. He's an unbelievable guy.
But does he have 7 years left in him? Which, I mean, you said 2027 at the end of our last segment. You said 2027 kind of seems like that would probably be that magic year where, and this is the great thing about this contract. I haven't seen the details yet, but the people that have and have broken it down, they say there's outs for both sides in this. The team and Mahomes each have wiggle room where if it's not working for whatever reason, Mahomes can split. And the team can split in 7 years, maybe it, because that's when he's due $60 million.
Yeah, I always remember all these NFL contracts. There's always smoke and mirrors, as much as you can say. Russell Wilson only signed a 4-year contract extension. These guys, like Dak Prescott, only wants a 4. The Dallas wants 5. The teams that are still looking at this and going, oh my gosh, we can't do this with our quarterback. Lamar Jackson's going to try to ask for more. All these guys are going to try to ask for more. They're just not Patrick Mahomes.
What does it mean and what does it look like for some of those quarterbacks that you said, Dak and Deshaun Watson? We will have that as the show goes on when we revisit this. But let's talk a little NBA. CJ McCollum, he mentions that he was up in the air about whether or not he was even going to go to Orlando. He has made his decision. That next, Dusty and Cam on the Fan. About 15 minutes from now, we'll talk with Eric Gunderson, USA Today's LeBron Wire, AP basketball writer on the NBA's restart coming up. Blazers, Lakers, Baloncesto. But yesterday, CJ McCollum did a conference call. It was his turn to do the Zoom meeting with the media. And he kind of said something that, I mean, we knew at the initially, but we didn't quite know how serious he was about not being ready and willing to play on the NBA's restart.
Obviously, now as we progress, this is a conversation that happened a long time ago. We progress to have more information, circumstances, situation, testing, everything that's kind of set up now. There's more information, but at the time, based on what I have been given, I didn't feel comfortable playing.
He's the VP of the NBA's Players Association. He was in all of the conference calls. And so he was saying that, you know, at the time they did their first initial meeting about the bubble, he was one guy that voted against it and said they weren't comfortable with anything going on in the bubble because they didn't have details on how the testing would happen, what it would look like. And he was one of the more informed people. Now, obviously, he is playing, but he said that, you know, they were kind of alluding to, they were in the dark on a lot of the details of what was going to be happening with the NBA's restart.
So what's the issue? What's the issue?
There doesn't have to be an issue. It is that CJ McCollum is one of the guys who is more informed players in the league, and they were so far in the dark on all this.
I would hope so. He represents the players union. Well, I would hope so.
He was saying that they were kind of in the dark on the details of it, and he just didn't feel comfortable with it, which kind of gives you a little bit more light into why some of the guys are so reluctant to dive into the bubble, as they call it in Orlando.
Why wouldn't they be? I mean, of course, nobody knows how this virus is reacting to certain Everybody can, it could be different with anybody. So the details, we got all sorts of stuff. So to be skeptical is to be human. Now, do you think all these guys are going to line up and go, yep, following suit, let's go? No, it's not like, that's not how the NBA works. The NBA is a players league.
Yeah. And this is kind of, you know, there's a lot of guys that look at it from a lot of different, you know, perspectives. And did you see Myers Leonard? And what he has said recently about his back and forth he had with Eric Spoelstra. He said that, you know, he was texting with Spoelstra. He said, look, number one, I'm getting paid millions of dollars to play basketball. Let's start there. Something I love to do anyway. Number two, my brother did 2 9-month tours in Afghanistan for a lot less pay. We're going to be in a bubble for 3 to 4 months max. He said, I get it. Life's not always easy. But what we do, what do we really have to complain about?
Didn't I say this on Monday? So do you want me to feel sorry for you guys having to go do your job in a bubble where you're going to be paid millions of dollars? Not all of you millions, but you're going to be paid to do your job that you signed up to do. And I'm not really worried about the fact that if you don't want to go, don't go. Don't go, but don't act like it's the end of the world. Okay, it's not. It's if you don't want to go and you don't feel comfortable, but don't sit there and say it's like, oh, use your family as an excuse. It's a couple weeks. Think you'd... You go on road trips all the time. Step back, do the thing that's best for you, but then don't come out and shame everybody else for wanting to go play basketball and do their job. Right? If you don't feel comfortable, don't do it. But don't use excuse. I mean, that's the thing. Myers-Anders is spot on, man. It's like we're entertainers. We sacrifice. But going to a bubble in Orlando doesn't sound like that much. Come on, does it sound like that much of a sacrifice right now?
No.
I think it's a terrible idea because I think it just doesn't help the situation, but it's the necessary evil. So, you know, if you don't want to go, don't go.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Trevor Ariza. I totally understand why Trevor Ariza isn't.
Yeah, no, I understand
this guy gets
it. Yeah.
1 month yeah. with yeah. his kid.
I think it's a legal issue. I think it sounds like more there's court dates and there's a lot of things that have to happen. So there's some legal things that he doesn't want to miss out on.
Well, it's his court, you know, the courts have ruled he gets July. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. heck, man, I wouldn't miss that either.
Right, but Trevor Ariza's not coming out saying, oh, I think this is dumb, the bubble's dumb. It's not, he's no. just like, look, I'm going to pick my family, which is okay. All right, I get it. You're a 16-year veteran.
One thing that I did find interesting as well is that, like, you know, the bubble is going to be weird and there are going to be guys that do try to fight it, you know, and they're going to want to leave and they're going to want to not stay in there and they're going to want their freedom when they're in there. But then you hear guys like, you know, CJ McCollum was like, I'm going to bring my Xbox. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to bring books. It's going to be something that, hey, I'm probably not going to spend a lot of time outside of the bubble. He did say, though, you know, one thing that I'm probably going to do while I'm there, though, is I'm going to pick up golf and I'm probably going to get golf lessons. Like, that's an option that those guys have.
Wow.
In the bubble.
What a struggle.
Get some golf lessons while you're there. Really tune up the game.
What a struggle. You what know? Am I going to do today? Xbox, read, play golf, play basketball. Doesn't that sound dangerous?
They have some movie nights, too.
I know.
You think they get a free reign on the pay-per-view? To watch whatever they want there?
I don't
there?
Think anybody really cares. They yeah, all probably have Netflix. Probably every free thing you can imagine.
But golf lessons
Who
are
buys
coming
a pay-per-view at a hotel anymore? Well, oh, it's good. What's the box got tonight?
I will say the people that are quarantined in the hotel and really can't leave, maybe them.
Maybe Do they really them. Charge you for that? Don't they
I think
just...
a lot of people that go to conventions buy pay-per-view in the room.
Do they?
Yeah.
God, I can't tell
have you ever
last
been to
time
a I... convention?
Nope.
Oh.
I've been to business conventions.
You have?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you buy a pay-per-view?
No. Oh. It's expensive.
Mm. It is.
I never go into the mini bar. Do you ever go in the mini bar? Mini bar's off limits. You don't ever go in the mini bar.
You gotta be careful, too, because they got those sensors now. Even if you just, like, lift it up.
It's like you never go in the mini bar.
That's $4.75 for that little bottle of whatever.
Like a
you
drunken have. Stupor. You come in, you're just like, I'm hungry. I mean, you go after the Cookie Crisp in there or the Ritz crackers. Next you know, it's $12. You're like, what did I eat?
You have to Indiana Jones that sensor.
When we went to Dallas for the LSU-Oregon game many years back, a buddy stumbled into the room drunk, and he popped open a can of macadamia nuts and
Bad
found
deal.
Out the next morning it was about $13.
Bad deal.
Oh, my God. Yeah. See, that's where they get you.
Yep. Convenience fee. Never go in the mini bar. It's the
that's
rule.
A bad, bad life choice. Elsewhere in the news of the Blazers yesterday, we were talking about what did the Blazers do at small forward. And this was a question. Jason Quick is going to be the other voice that you hear in this. CJ was asked about what small forward looks like without Trevor Ariza in the lineup.
Melo probably will play some small forward. Trent can play some small forward. Nas can play some small forward. I'll probably play some small forward.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about how you guys are positioned there?
Ah, we'll be all right. We have a bunch of professionals, guys who worked on their games, and this gives some other players an opportunity too that they probably wouldn't have gotten had Trevor been going.
Yeah, you have fun guarding Zion there in your small forward. Have fun with that, CJ. Good luck with that. Good luck with that one.
It's going to be tough, man.
Is him playing small forward, he just everyone goes, ball.
Well, I mean, that's when you're going your ultra small lineup.
Oh, I know.
I know.
You're going to ask CJ to be your defensive stopper. He knows that.
That's when you're sitting there and you're looking at it going, boy, those names, did any of the, Gary Trent Jr. is probably the most confident one you feel from a defensive standpoint playing that position. Nasir Little?
Nah. You know how he didn't really give the glowing report of any? He's like, oh, no. He's like,
That was the concerning part.
I'm like, wow.
We're like,
wow. We got a bunch of professionals. Doesn't that sound what you want playing defense? Hey, guys, what's your starting lineup like?
We have
a bunch of professionals.
Yeah.
I'd rather have someone say, we got a bunch of dudes.
Well, of course. You'd love to hear that.
But not a bunch. We have a bunch of professionals playing. I'm like, nope.
What is concerning in that regard is that, you're going to be playing the Clippers. You're going to be playing the Celtics.
Yeah.
The Rockets.
Yeah.
Dallas. You're going to have some problems defending the 3 and 4.
Mm. It's going to be a short stay for Portland. That's okay. A short stay.
No, man. You said they got to win them all?
I said they have to win them all. That's why I won. Set it in them all and react to 5.
This is going
to
be...
They need to... They're 4 down anyway, so they're going to have to do some serious... They're going to need to win them all.
Well, you only have to be within 4. You just have to hold off everybody else.
Yeah, but that's hoping someone else loses, and that's just not... That doesn't seem realistic. Doesn't seem realistic that Memphis is going to just step back, or New Orleans. New Orleans was playing better. They look
Memphis doesn't have to step back for you to get that play-in game.
Oh, I know. We're talking about owning the four
games, and that's all you have to do is stay within that to get into that play-in for the eight seed. You have to hold off New Orleans, Sacramento. You're not going to really have a big concern over San Antonio because they're without LaMarcus Aldridge now, but that's going to be you're going to have to look, you have to hold off New Orleans. That is what it comes down to. And New Orleans has got an easier schedule and they are looking like they're healthy and they're going to be
also loaded. Remember Dallas, Houston, Oklahoma City, along with Utah, all with one game. So it's not like they're going to just coast.
Nope.
They're not going to Dallas isn't going to coast. Houston ain't coasting. And certainly Oklahoma City and Utah are not. And not like Denver's running away with it either. They're all within 3 games of each other. None of those teams are coast. Not even the Clippers are.
Well, they need to tune up and get ready for that run in the playoffs too, because they've been off for so long.
I don't believe anybody's coasting in the Western Conference. The East is a little different. Milwaukee will probably back up a little bit. You're looking at, there's 9 games between the 6th and the 7th seed. So Brooklyn and Orlando are everyone else from 6 up. I'm like, all right, we'll get some games in.
Let's talk to someone who covers the NBA. I love him on Twitter, where you can follow him. He is formerly covered the Blazers for the Columbian. Now he is the editor of LeBron Wire, does work for AP and USA Today. It is Eric Gunderson. He joins us next. First, though, is Buck with SportsCenter. All right, 7:31 on your Tuesday morning. Dusty Hara, Cam Cleland with you. Joining us now, he's the editor of LeBron Wire. You can find his work all over via USA Today and AP Sports. Eric Gunderson, formerly the Columbian and Blazer writer, joins us. Good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Happy to be back on Dusty and Cam. It's been a while, guys.
While, Gundy. I just created a new nickname for you. Sorry.
That's cool. How many people call you Gundy?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Good.
Like, literally since I was, like, I don't know, like in 8th grade.
Hey, how is quarantine going for you?
It's been going fine. You know, it's been hard, but we've been managing. It's been okay.
Yeah.
It's honestly not been too bad. We had a family friend ask us to come visit them in Lake Tahoe. So I can't complain. I'm living a pretty good quarantine life after I just got back from Lake Tahoe,
nice.
Which I've never been before. It was awesome.
It's beautiful over there. All right, NBA, we get it. We finally get NBA back at the end of this month. The restart is happening. Give us, realistically, what do the Portland Trail Blazers need to do in that final eight games to make the playoffs? What are you thinking is a win total the Blazers must get?
I think they have to get 5 wins at the very least. Like, I think they have to go 5-3 at the very least and hope that the Pelicans underperform their expectations. I think they're over under for the restart is at 5, the Pelicans. So people think that they're going to be, the line on them is high.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, I think only the Celtics, like the Celtics and the Rockets are right there. And then after that, it's the Bucks, Clippers, Lakers, the 3 big contenders. So I think Portland's going to have to go at least 5-3 in those 8 games because Memphis's schedule is not very forgiving. I mean, I think it's a little bit harder actually than Portland's is. And I think that's what Portland's going to have to do. And Portland's obviously, you guys were just talking about it before the break. I mean, their schedule is brutal.
Yeah, it is absolutely brutal.
Eric, what's the best lineup right now with Ariza out? Is it Zach Collins? No question. And I mean, is Yusuf, could we see both those guys on the court with Hassan and Yusuf? And also, if it's call me crazy, a Zach Collins, could there be that kind of murderous row of long defenders, but maybe not quick at feet? I mean, what's going to be the best lineup now?
I think the best lineup is probably going to be, I mean, let's, the best lineup I think is going to be in one involving Gary Trent, because I think Gary Trent was playing really good basketball before the restart, and I think that even though he's a little undersized at the 3, I think you'd probably take your chances with him at the 3 instead of Carmelo, and especially in like a clutch situation where you're going to go against, let's say you're playing the Celtics and you have to go against Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Like, those two guys are going to eat Melo alive. So you need to put somebody who's quicker of feet, I think, at the 3. And I think Collins at the 4. I mean, have the size. I think if you go Dame, CJ, Gary Trent, Collins, Nurk, I like that. But I also think that they could go even smaller and put Melo at the 4 because he's a really good rebounder. And I think you could have a really good lineup there with Dame, CJ, Gary Trent, Carmelo, and either Collins or Nurk in the middle because – you know, I think both of those guys really bring a lot of versatility, and I really want Nurkic's passing in the lineup. I think that would unlock so many things for this team. I mean, I think it's and Collins, I think he just gives you a little bit of flexibility. And so I think the lineup that my best lineup is Dame, CJ, Gary Trent, Melo, and Nurkic, I think, is my favorite 5, but I think Collins obviously should, like, get a lot of minutes as well. But, you know, if I'm in the fourth quarter and I need everyone on the floor to kind of be a threat to shoot and score, I kind of want Melo out there for an offensive possession.
You think Nurk is the starter. So Hassan immediately, just he's coming off the bench. That's kind of is that your sense?
That's what I guess gathering. I mean, Hassan is, Stott said the other day when we talked to him that it's Nurkic is starting for sure. And he's like basically on the fence about whether to start Hassan or Collins.
Got it.
And so, I mean, I would like to see Hassan and Collins, Hassan and Nurkic, just from I'm interested. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see some Bash Brothers out there. Like, that'd be cool.
You know, Nurk says that he won't have a minutes restriction, and that since he was ready to go the week, literally, he was going to start that next weekend. Returning to action, he won't have a minutes restriction. What do you expect as a level of play from him? Because we haven't seen him in over a year.
You know, I he looks in good shape. Dame is like really excited about him. He was saying like, I don't want to say too much, but I've been really encouraged. And hey, I mean, he's been working on his game. Some of these videos we've been seeing of him shooting threes, like it's like a really a part of his game is, you know, kind of encouraging. I think he's going to look a little bit better than he probably would have if he had come back, if the virus had never happened and the season hadn't stopped. Because everyone's going to be out of rhythm now.
Right. Yeah, and that's one thing that I think is a benefit for both he and Collins, is that the rust is going to have to be blown off for everybody once they come back. Maybe not a year off of playing, or not playing since November in Zach's case, but you've got a lot of rust that's going to be blown off by everybody. Eric Gunderson is our guest. Follow him on Twitter at @Eric_Gunderson. All right, the LeBron Wire. You're the editor for LeBron Wire. Avery Bradley out. How big of an impact is that? That Avery Bradley is out, and now J.R. Smith is coming in.
It's an impact in the sense that they're just going to have to get used to having J.R. instead of Avery. Even though I think J.R. could probably offensively could probably be a better player than Avery Bradley, especially in a playoff setting, because J.R. can always get his shot off. He's a career 37% 3-point shooter in the playoffs. And he's not afraid of the moment, and also he's not afraid of LeBron. And I think that having someone that's been through the war with LeBron is really beneficial to this team, because they don't have a ton of guys that have played and been through, really high pressure situations with LeBron. But Bradley, they do lose a lot of pressure defense with him, guarding a lot of point guards. But at the same time, Lakers fans like him, and I like him too. I like Alex Caruso, and I think getting Caruso some more PT is good. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was having a great season. I think he was honestly better than Avery Bradley. So if you can get him more minutes, I think it'll work out fine. I mean, they lose something with Bradley for sure, but the guys that they have to make up for it are pretty good too.
So a little theory thinking that teams like a Houston could help and make a big run, because we're going to see something during this pandemic and bubble that maybe the NBA typically, I think in the history of the NBA, you get a physical playoffs. I don't know if you're going to get a physical playoffs. I think you're going to get fouls. You're going to get ticky-tack stuff. Guys are going to be careful. That bodes well for a team like Houston. But if you look at somebody else out there, is there a sleeper team that you have that could make a run, or is this just chalk in your mind?
I think Toronto is the team that I think really has a great chance, because, they are a very good physical team, but they're physical all the time. It's almost like those old Seahawks teams where, they're PIing you the whole time and the refs going to call it or they're not. And I think that they're a team that puts pressure on the refs with their defense. I mean, they are the only team in the league that does a full court press. They do the box in one. They do the triangle in two. They do all kinds of weird stuff defensively, and they are the defending champions. Like, they even though they don't have Kawhi Leonard anymore, by the end of it, they had to have everybody contributing. I mean, Fred VanVleet was the guy in game six, and Kyle Lowry went off in that game against the Warriors. And granted, the Warriors were hurt, but, they have Marc Gasol's fully healthy. Finally, Lowry's fully healthy. I think the Raptors, because of their defense and because of their experience, and also, you don't know what's happened over the past couple of months with Pascal Siakam, who continues to just exponentially get better, it seems like, every other game, it seems like. I mean, I think Toronto is a big sleeper to potentially knock off Milwaukee and also potentially win the championship.
Eric Gunderson, follow him on Twitter at @Eric_Gunderson. Thanks for the time, man. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, y'all. Thanks for having me.
All right, there it is. Isn't that wild, though, that nobody's talking about the defending world champions?
Well, because you lost the best player on their team. I mean, so that's fair.
But
it's legitimately fair.
At the same time, when the season ended, they were 46-18, had won 71% of their games, had the third best record in all of the NBA.
I know that. Woo! But also remember how many times Toronto did that prior to Kawhi Leonard, and then getting bounced in the playoffs by LeBron, and bounced and bounced, firing their head coach, but different head coach.
Yeah.
They're the defending champs, and they're veterans.
Nick Nurse has done a
he's
damn
done a great
job.
He sure has.
Absolutely. All right, Major League Baseball releases its schedule, and one player in particular is saying, "Hey, let's take a little bit off the top here. Yankees need to lighten up." Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, special thank you to Eric Gunderson for joining us. Good to hear his perspective on all things NBA, Blazers, Lakers, sleeper team. Sleeper team's a defending champ, but kind of makes sense. Toronto is being slept on. Let's talk some baseball. Major League Baseball unveiled their schedule for the 2020 60-game season.
Stick and ball sports.
That's right. And it starts, hey, Mariners, Astros. Hey, this is actually rarefied air. Our three teams are in the same division this year. Ish.
Ooh, yeah, they are, kind of.
Kind of?
Yeah.
Well, maybe? Ish?
Well, not maybe. Yeah. It's for sure-sies. They're going to be playing NL AL West. We're going to have more games between the Astros, Mariners, Giants than we normally would. Mm-hmm. We're going to have, 20? It only looks like the Mariners play the Giants four times. So each team in the NL West, the AL West, will play four times.
Not to tangent, but I feel like tangenting. Did you happen to see what Trevor Bauer wore to your team?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
You follow Trevor Bauer?
Yeah.
It's great.
He wore Buck, Houston.
You have to appreciate the trash town shirt.
Yeah.
God, I love it. The Shame Tour is going to be one of my favorite things to watch this year.
Unfortunately, it's not going to be as good because they're not going to get heckled by fans everywhere they go.
The most disappointing part of this is that we can just hold on to it to 2021 because it'll circle on back then later.
Something else will happen.
Nope. Nuh-uh.
Sure.
Nope. Trevor Bauer's not going to let it go away. When he pitches against Houston, which I can't wait to see.
It won't happen. He pitches for the Reds.
Well, I know, but you can't say it won't ever happen. It might happen. They might be in the World Series. You never know.
Reds, Astros.
Why not?
That would upset baseball fan is having the Astros in the World Series this year.
It would upset baseball fan.
They would be livid. Baseball guy would be all hot and bothered.
Wouldn't put
this.
It past them though.
No, they're still going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So giddy up for that. But Astros, Mariners, they start the season off in Houston against each other, and then the Giants. Oh boy, Giants. They don't play them until September. This game, if you look at it, though, from...
Who's they? The Mariners?
The Mariners.
Oh, okay.
July 24th to September 27th. That is the length of time that they're going to get 60 regular season games in.
Yep.
We were talking about a sprint. That is so fast.
It's a squish together.
That's going to be almost every single day.
Come on, they've had like 4 months off. Cry me a river. Let's go.
But games every single day.
Yeah, let's go.
You're going to see injuries? More injuries?
Maybe.
Arm's going to be falling off, and that's...
They'll probably be very intelligent with the rotations. I mean, they already let guys throw six innings now for $350 million.
Because they're throwing 100 miles an hour. My God.
You saw that picture of Nolan Ryan today. Nolan Ryan most famously got his sixth no-hitter today against the A's at 43 years old.
Yeah.
43, and then he just used to power through. Now, guys, six, seven innings. I bet they'll all be on pitching restrictions for the first month. If you get someone into the eighth inning, it'll be amazing. Amazing. Plus, they got to get their staff's work. You got to get the bullpen work. You got to let the closers come in and do this. They're not going to do that with their starters.
Yeah, that is the interesting part about the way pitching has gone these days is that they only go six or seven innings, but at the same time, they're throwing way harder than a lot of those other guys did.
He also look a lot different,
and,
too.
Yeah, like Nolan Ryan, he obviously proved it when he was running the Rangers. Yeah. He was a freak. And freaks just happen in sports. Like, freaks of nature, they're real. And Nolan Ryan was one of them. Because when he was running the Rangers, he's like, no, we're not going to do innings restrictions. Come on, I threw all this. All
of a sudden, your way through it.
Everybody on the Rangers rotation's arm was in an ice bucket for half the year, and they fell apart at the end of the season because their arms weren't strong enough. Baseball's refined itself so much that, like Nolan Ryan, I wonder if there are guys that could just be that workhorse that can go eight or nine every single time
they
go out
there. That was Felix Hernandez for years.
Right.
I mean, he actually got, he came up in the league, he was throwing mid to upper 90s, and he just had to dial it back to create longevity, better slider, better changeup, but that's what he did. He did it for 10 years.
And that's the thing, is are we going to see these guys go longer?
Physically, I don't think that they can hold up because their muscle, I've always said this about baseball pitchers. It's not just baseball players. Look at pitchers. If you lined up pitchers in a 2020 year and then took a snapshot of each decade from the 60s all the way up, even into the 2000s, the way the pitchers look now, I mean, Gerrit Cole is a beast. Name a pitcher that looked like Gerrit Cole in the 1980s. That'd be like Dave Winfield on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
and still add another 10 pounds. I mean, that's just, that's huge. You didn't see, I mean, you know, I had some big guys. You had like Rich Sutcliffe, who was a big, huge, tall dude, but he wasn't like physically, I mean, these guys are massively muscular. They're huge. I mean, Noah Syndergaard is it, I mean, gosh, I don't know what it'd be like to face that guy. Or Aroldis Chapman, you see, he looks like he just ate everybody he's been training with.
And this is where baseball is kind of going down the road of, they're not trying to get, like, because they're big, they throw gas, they are on short innings. They're not trying to get extra years out of these guys. They're trying to get an extra month and get an extra 2 months out of these guys with the innings restrictions. It's not about adding years on the back end. It's about having those guys in September and October be able to still throw that gas, because the way they were throwing guys, they just wear out as the season would go on. And you didn't have fresh pitchers.
Or they get stronger and guys get into a rhythm. And I think that's the best ones do. They start to get, I mean, it's like a callus. You start wearing in, you get stronger and stronger. They always said guys like Greg LeMond Why can't I think of his name for a second? It's totally blanking the bike rider's name. Lance Armstrong got stronger towards the end of, now I know he took steroids, but still, you had to have some ability and an emotional, mental ability to push through that level. Mm-hmm. Some of these great pitchers, they just continue to get stronger and stronger towards the end of the season.
Yeah, but majority of the guys don't have that. You know, so you have to find.
Well, that's why the Yankees and the Dodgers are the betting favorites.
Well, you have to find a way to keep those guys as fresh as you possibly can. So you pitch them six instead of, you know, letting them out there suffer for 120 pitches or whatever those guys were throwing back in the 80s. Keep their arms as fresh as you possibly can. I can't wait for baseball to come back. We are, 14 days away?
Please, I can't. No, I mean, I
17
can't
days
wait.
Away. Sorry.
From every media post I keep seeing, and just like from Chris Bryant saying things are all jacked up. Mike Trout doesn't want to play. It's like these guys don't want to play.
I'm like, why don't you do want to play? But like when you don't get tests for a week, they're like, okay, uh-huh. What's going on here?
Safety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Major League. Who's expecting Major League Baseball not to fumble this around? Like carrying a box of marbles. Like, oh, this will be fine. We'll carry this box of marbles here with no lid.
And Trout has some extra, you know, reason to be cautious because his wife is due in August.
He's also got a $450 million contract.
Yeah.
I would be pissed off if I was the Angels and my star didn't want to play. Well, I'm telling you right now, I give you a $450 million contract and you want to not play for a couple months because you're a little bit afraid. I get that. I understand. But then forego your whole salary, retire for a year, and then come back. Don't get paid, but stay home. I don't like that side. If you don't want to play, no problems. But you're a star and you're a leader. And if you need to step away for a while, okay, these are the sacrifices you make. This isn't a regular job at 7-Eleven or anything like that. This is a professional superstar athlete position, uh-huh. One of 1 to 2 in the world when you're the best at. This isn't the same. But if you're not going to play, forego your salary, donate it to charity, do whatever you go. Don't just step away for a year.
Is he saying that he's not going to do that?
I haven't heard anything like that.
Oh, well, no, but I mean, we haven't heard otherwise. I mean, I don't know how it would go if he opted to sit it out, but
I know as a somebody that would be a business owner or a team owner or anything like that, I invested a crap ton of money in you. Mm-hmm. I want you out here playing. Well, at all costs.
But I think the idea is just you got to protect your investment then, right? Like he's like, if you value me, then have a test for me. Have protection for me.
I think you're protecting your investment too, but you did protect him by giving a guaranteed money. And so after that, it's on the player's job.
Well, he's talking about
financial security versus physical security.
Yeah, the global pandemic where they're not having their tests done and testers aren't showing up.
Yeah, but so if Mike Trout was another guy just trying to make his way in and trying to do his way in making 100 grand, he wouldn't be sitting out. And I you mean to tell me Mike Trout is the only guy with a wife that's pregnant? I call crap on that.
No.
Well, no.
But, you know, that's why Mike Trout, he's just valuing his family more.
And that's why Mike Trout is not as marketable as other guys.
Well, sure, maybe. Well, baseball just kind of has a problem with marketing their guys.
Like Juan Soto, you think Juan Soto and Bryce Harper sitting out?
No, but I don't see Juan Soto doing a whole lot of marketing because he's playing.
Well, no, because he's still not have a $450 million contract.
Exactly.
Can't wait to see what he gets paid.
He's gonna get paid a ton.
Oh, I sure hope so. He's exciting. He's so exciting.
All right. 503-250-1080. We have next hour, Patrick Mahomes got paid big time bucks. Did the expectations change? And what does it mean for the Chiefs building a championship roster in the next decade? But coming up next, the Big 12 is exploring options as to how they'll handle the potential cancellation of games if it comes up. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.